Hey, Sean. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So, obviously, plenty to talk about this week. Should we just get to it?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Yep, we're ready.
All right, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, we talk about everything. The protests, the anger, what happened, and where we go from here. So this week in Wisconsin, much like across pretty much the entire country, we've had a bunch of protests stemming from the death of George Floyd, the black man who died in police custody last month in Minneapolis, protests about, systemic racism, about police use of force. And obviously, we only have, a sliver of the story here in Wisconsin and in Madison, which is what we've been covering. But where do we start about this week? What is all this about?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really big question, right? And there is just kind of this avalanche of news coming out about this story right now across the nation. And what we can bring to you as a part of that is just what we observed this week in Wisconsin, and in our case, really specifically Madison. But I mean, it is kind of important to lay out at the beginning here that like what we're seeing now, I think we've all observed, is not like specific to the death of George Floyd. That ignited it and that got people out there. But it seems like what we're seeing now, when we've been out in these crowds, is bigger than that. It is talking about kind of institutional racism that has existed for centuries. And so we are going to get into the kind of what we observed day by day in Wisconsin, because that's what we do. But, we just want to like point out that there are bigger issues at play here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, just to mention that, Sean and I have been covering protests in Madison. We haven't been in Milwaukee. We've had colleagues in Milwaukee. We haven't been to other parts of the state. We certainly have WPR colleagues in other parts of the state that have been talking about protests there. And this is a situation and a kind of a moment where the conversations are different in some ways, community to community. There is a very broad, as Sean mentioned, sort of conversation about things that are very much beyond George Floyd.
So I guess just to start, do we want to talk about what we've seen this week? I mean, you two were both out there reporting. What has the week looked like in terms of our vantage point of everything that's going on?
Yeah. I think the one rule that we want to keep in mind during this podcast is that these protests look different depending on when and where you have observed them.
Yeah. Can we jump back to, Saturday is when things started? How was that different? What did that look like?
So I can tell you my perspective, and that is of a reporter who came in after things had kind of gotten chaotic on this protest scene. So for most of Saturday in Madison, there was a large, peaceful protest that our colleague Bridget Bowden covered. And this was not a violent protest. There was not property damage. However, at around 5 o'clock, the tone of the protest changed, and you had people who started to destroy property, to damage police cars, to smash store windows on Madison State Street. And by the time I arrived at downtown to cover this at about 7, State Street was pretty chaotic. There was, as I walked down to sort of the skirmish between protesters and police farther down State Street, you could see just shop windows smashed, these large planters overturned in the middle of the street. And then as you got up toward the front of the line, there are protesters right in the face of police who are in full riot gear. On occasion, protesters would start to throw rocks or water bottles at police. Police would shoot tear gas canisters out into the crowd. They would shoot pepper spray at some protesters, and people would take off running. And then the tear gas would kind of clear and everything would reset. And that scene kind of played out over and over again on Saturday night. That night, the mayor of Madison and the city's police chief said that they were not going to arrest people because they wanted to kind of de-escalate the situation. They did not plan on a curfew, as we had already seen in some other places. But that changed pretty quickly. They announced that night that there would be a curfew the following night. And you kind of got the sense that they were not going to be in a situation again where they felt like they were outnumbered. You know, their police force was growing on Saturday night, but the chief kind of alluded to the fact that they were, I don't know if he used the word outnumbered exactly, but there were more protesters than they felt like they could control with their police force that night.
So I know we don't want to talk about, you know, the individual night specifically and kind of belabor that because we have a lot of other things we want to get to. And we've certainly done coverage on each of those individual events. But I think there was kind of a trend with law enforcement that happened over the course of the first 3 days of the protests from Saturday to Sunday to Monday. And it seemed like the pretty clear theme was that Sunday had a really strong law enforcement presence, kind of in response to probably what you were saying there, Sean, about the dynamic in terms of numbers between protesters and the people there, you know, enforcing.
Yeah, I think it's relevant to discuss those nights and, you know, the nights that followed for this reason. I'm not sure that this protest presence is going to like disappear anytime soon. And life is kind of different than we knew it. This is like the theme of 2020. We say this every so many weeks. Life is kind of different than we knew it a week ago. And people will be talking about, how do we manage this? What do we do with the protesters? And so you have sort of a snapshot on that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of what can happen when you deal with a protest crowd with different kinds of police strategies. So Saturday, the protesters were met with police. There were, you know, those skirmishes that I described. Sunday, they had a lot more police at the ready. But initially Sunday, it was just a handful of officers here and there around the Capitol Square, just off to the side. I should say more than a handful, okay, but not like a massive police force. And they were not in riot gear. They're just observing. And you had a smaller protest crowd that was kind of building as the night went on. And you had a curfew. And as that curfew drew near, more people came to downtown. And the crowd got more riled up. And so the curfew took place at 9:30. And at 10 o'clock, there was a group of protesters that got in the face of the faces of these police officers that were standing in front of a building downtown. Those police officers felt like they were trapped. And at that point, that is when this massive police force came in downtown. You know, police in riot gear, tear gas everywhere, it felt like. And then the police were backed up by National Guard soldiers who had been authorized by Governor Tony Evers. So, you know, they essentially formed kind of a human wall and pushed this protest crowd out of the Capitol Square, only to kind of create these smaller skirmishes here and there throughout the city as the protest crowd scattered.
So that was Sunday night. And by Monday, I know the character of things had continued to change, and both of you were out reporting. What did each of you sort of observe while you were out?
So I was out earlier in the day on Monday. I was out in the afternoon for a protest that shut down John Nolan Drive, which is a main thoroughfare in Madison. And eventually that group, which was, you know, it had kind of a block party feel, honestly. There was music coming from cars, there were snacks, there was a like a wagon going around that had Girl Scout cookies in it. Moments of seriousness and kind of practicing creating a perimeter for protesters. So they would kind of do these drills where actually the white people in the crowd were instructed to kind of make a circle that the black people would be in the middle of. And they were saying, this is what we're going to do when we encounter police later. So there were certainly those moments, but it was a pretty lighthearted protest in the afternoon for sure. Sean came in and took over for me at about 6:30 or so. And things kind of, evolved from there. They physically moved to a different location and started doing some different stuff.
Yeah, I got to say, when you handed it off to me there Sunday night, and that's when this large crowd began to move from John Nolan Drive to toward the Capitol Square, toward downtown, my impression was that it was a very organized protest at that point. You had this large group of people that was moving in unison pretty well. They have these people's mic moments that are pretty dramatic, where a speaker up front, either on a bullhorn or just by yelling, says something, and then the crowd echoes in this big refrain. It's a dramatic way to give a speech. I would like to, next week's podcast, you guys can just echo everything I say, and I think that people would love that. But anyway, this large crowd moving downtown, and they get downtown, and at this point, you know, we mentioned there was that curfew. There is, again, on this Monday night that I'm observing, another curfew. And we saw what happened the previous night with the police and the National Guard and the tear gas coming out in downtown Madison. And so, of course, there's a question about what is this going to look like if that's the approach and you have a bigger crowd now. What is that going to mean? You know, are they going to arrest people? Like, where is this going to go? And so what became clear after a while is that this group is marching up and down State Street and there is not a police officer in sight. You know, there's not just, it wasn't like Sunday night where there were police on the perimeter, but they're not doing anything. On this night, they made sure there were no police around. They're not giving the crowd a reason to kind of be angry at police by having them there. So the crowd continues to march, eventually ends up downtown. And they've been there at this point they've been out for many hours on a warm day. And they continue to give speeches and to rally. And it's becoming clear the later it gets in the night that it's going to be hard to control this group of people, that not everybody in that crowd has the same shared goals or same shared view of what protest looks like. And there are fights breaking out in the crowd. You know, at some point somebody sets off some really big fireworks right next to the crowd. This pickup truck that I don't know what was up, but it kept kind of coming back in and back and forth on these side streets next to the protest. And that kind of spooked people. And there's this segment of the crowd that keeps trying to take off down State Street, and other protest organizers drive them back. Well, at around 1 o'clock or so in the morning, a group of people that did not want to stay put at the Capitol went off down State Street. And you know, by the time I got down there, what I saw were just like shop windows that had not yet been boarded up, really broken everywhere. People taking stuff out of these stores that no longer had storefronts. And so that was how things turned out Monday night without police around. All that said, it seems like things changed quickly after that. The curfew was lifted by the Madison Common Council. The protests seemed generally more organized and peaceful after that. And so we haven't seen nights as chaotic as we saw Saturday, Sunday, Monday since then.
So obviously not a simple, straightforward question, but in general, who has been coming out for these protests in Wisconsin, and I guess in Madison especially, since that's what you two have been covering, and sort of what have they been saying or asking for?
So that's Sean smiling at me because he's like, "You should talk, Laurel."
Oh, I was smiling also. I could hear your dog. So
oh,
I was smiling
yeah,
at that part. Sorry.
Well, I think they just
laid
down.
We're still doing the remote recording thing here.
Yeah, they just laid down, so I think we're safe from the clip-clop of little toenails. So, yeah, I guess to just start, you know, from what I have covered, I think one of the things that I've really seen and sort of been struck by and definitely noticed is just, like, the wide variety of people in terms of, like, ages and races that have been at these events in Madison. You know, the thing that we covered yesterday, Sean and I, there were a number of little kids, you know, kids that were probably anywhere between, you know, 5 and 12 there with their parents. And then sort of course, like the stereotypical, like young, like 20 something protester that you might think of. But it's not a homogenous group by any stretch, I think, in Madison from what I've seen.
And I would say also that aside from the peaceful protests, when things have gotten more heated, you also do have a mix of people out there. It is hard to summarize who is out there in that moment when the protesters have gotten in those really fiery arguments with police.
And to answer the second part of your question, John, which is what do these protesters want? What are they calling for? I feel like this is kind of the theme of this podcast, but the answer is it's complicated and it really varies.
Yeah, it also depends on where you're at, right?
Exactly. I mean, I think that, you know, community to community, there are different requests from different groups. These actions have been organized by kind of coalitions of different community organizations. Or individual organizations, people who aren't involved in those groups have been showing up. So it's a broad range of interests. Based on reporting that we have done on getting specifics from Madison and Milwaukee people in particular, and this is obviously something that we're going to continue following at WPR broadly and covering these protests across the state, but things that we're consistently hearing from Madison and Milwaukee and even in the nationwide conversation are things like defunding the police, you know, spending less state, local, you know, government money on police departments, removing police from schools, and addressing incarceration rates of Black people in Wisconsin. I mean, one of the specific requests from some of the Madison protesters are to release all of the Black people from the Dane County Jail. So that's a very specific one. And there are obviously lots of others. I mean, this is a protest and kind of a conversation about, as we mentioned at the very top of the podcast, things that have been going on for a very long time across the country and in Wisconsin. So when you're dealing with that breadth of time, and that number of issues and all the nuances there, you're going to have a lot of things come up.
Just real quick, one thing you mentioned there specifically is the call to get police officers out of schools in Madison. That was something that sort of came up prominently yesterday when you guys were out covering the protest, right?
Yeah, so we didn't know that that was going to be what the day was about when we started. Laurel and I followed this caravan protest. Laurel alluded to it, blocking the Beltline in Madison for, you know, in the ballpark of 40 minutes, and then going elsewhere, blocking other major streets, just slowing things down, you know, shut it down in the words of the protesters. It ended in a residential neighborhood at the home of the Madison School Board president, Gloria Reyes, and the protesters gathered everybody around there at her house with the bullhorn and said, you know, essentially in the words of the Brandy Grayson, who runs Urban Triage, you know, she pointed over at the school board president and says she has the power to make this change. You know, we want police out of schools, and there's the person right there who has the power. It's a really, you know, Laurel and I are used to covering boring government meetings at the state capitol. This is a different kind.
You called them boring. I didn't call them boring.
Laurel loves the meetings at the Capitol. Laurel loves them. Give it a few more years. Give it a few more years. you know, but this is a different kind of politics, right? They have gone, they alluded to this, the organizers, they have gone to school board meetings and felt like the response was unsatisfactory, to put it mildly. They used other terms. And essentially, they want this change. They feel like they're not being listened to by the school board. So in this moment in history, when tensions are high and people are active, they're at her house calling for this change. And Gloria Reyes came out and talked to them over the bullhorn. And, you know, she said, I can't promise that we're going to do that. We have a contract with Madison Police. Gloria Reyes is a former police officer, by the way. But she said that given the death of George Floyd, this is something we have to reconsider, the use of officers in schools. The crowd actually wasn't entirely happy with that because they felt like, look, we've been pushing for this for years. There are any number of reasons why we think you should take officers out of school. But it is the death of George Floyd, which is, you know, lit the spark here for what we're seeing around the country. And the reason that somebody like Madison School Board president might be open to changing her tune on this.
Yeah, there's just one more thing I want to mention before we kind of move on to a different element of all of this that I know we want to talk about, which is kind of the political response and what some of the folks that we cover more frequently have to say about all of this. And that is just a theme that I think is emerging and that Sean talked about there, which is, you know, these protesters are going to individuals that, you know, have the power to make some of these changes that they want. They obviously, we described them going to the school board president's house. They went to Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney's house in Madison for another protest. And they're part of their dialogue, and they said this when the mayor came to one of their protests on Monday, is they don't just want what they're calling political lip service. They want action. They want concrete things to be done. And so that was some of their pushback and their concern with Reyes yesterday, was she was agreeing to talk about it and acknowledged, you know, the George Floyd, you know, in Minnesota has changed things and is causing them to reevaluate having police in schools. But reevaluating and having the discussion isn't enough for a lot of the protesters. They're expressing frustration, saying, we don't want conversation, we don't want debate, we want you to take action, because these are things that we've been pushing for a while. One of the protesters said directly to the mayor on Monday that, you know, come to me when you've done something, when it's already done. Don't come to me telling me you're going to do something. So that's a theme that's definitely emerged this week and something that I think we'll probably continue to hear.
So like you said, Laurel, this whole thing isn't without an element of our normal wheelhouse in terms of state politics. What has sort of been the reaction to everything that's been going on from people in state government?
Well, I think that there are kind of two sections of the political response to it. One is the response to the use of force at these protests and police response generally to protesters. That's definitely kind of illuminated a political divide, and we can talk about that. And the other thing that's going on politically is what sort of legislative action should be taken in Wisconsin. So two separate things. We'll talk about both of them. I think the first one, if we're just going to go chronologically, is kind of the early political comments about how police were handling protesters. And we know that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was incredibly vocal on Twitter pretty early on after the weekend protests in Madison, saying that Madison officials hadn't been tough enough, that they really needed to crack down on people who were being destructive and doing the things like breaking windows and things like that. There's been a pushback to that from Democratic lawmakers, from certainly the mayor of Madison, who said that, issuing citations and having that sort of police response isn't something that they're interested in. That's not how they want to respond to the protests. So kind of the familiar political lines that we're used to in Wisconsin over that policing issue. And that also kind of dovetails, I guess, with the potential use of National Guard and other military forces to supplement what Madison police are doing, which has been a pretty Democratic and Republican divide. It's important to note, though, that when we're talking about the use of the National Guard at these protests in Wisconsin, that that is something that Governor Evers, a Democrat, authorized and set in motion, and something that Democratic leaders have requested. I mean, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, they asked for National Guard support for their communities. So it's not a completely clear-cut debate there, but we're seeing those lines drawn a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And in Madison, they were requested by Madison's mayor. You know, the liberal bastion of Madison, Wisconsin, the mayor requested National Guard troops because of what had happened on State Street. I don't know what's going to happen going forward with kind of that debate over like how tough to get with protesters, because right now protesters are there, but they're not damaging property in the way that they were. And we don't have these confrontations with police. So what's going to happen if protesters stay there? And stay there, and shops on State Street remain boarded up. You know, like at some point, does the government change its response to all this? Does the city? Does the state? I don't know. I mean, I've never seen something like this before firsthand. I've seen very small versions of protester police confrontations at the Capitol, you know, in the years after Act 10, where protesters wanted to be there to demonstrate. At some point, there was a push by Republicans to kind of crack down on them. And so there were these arrests, and arrests drew more people, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if people started getting arrested for just kind of camping out at the Capitol or shutting down streets, that could attract more people. You know, that could escalate things. But we just don't know. And we also don't know what's going to happen at the national level. President Trump has talked about bringing in the military to deal with protesters. As of this recording, he has not done that. But that, of course, would change the tenor of the protests if military were brought in somewhere in the United States.
So that's kind of like the debate over that. There is a conversation, too, about some potential legislative action in Wisconsin. It's a really weird time right now. I say that in like the most obvious sense, because it's been kind of
point.
A weird time with COVID as well.
Real weird time.
Yeah, we say that every week now.
Yeah. But what I meant was, you know, even in before COVID and before these protests, it's an odd time for lawmaking, because the regular session has ended. Lawmakers said that they held their last days in February and March, I believe, respectively, for the Assembly and Senate this year. And they normally wouldn't come back until, you know, the next, you know, January, basically, taking this time to kind of campaign and lead up to the November election. So we're in this time where things don't generally happen at the Capitol. Now, they could. There could be a special session call. There could be an extraordinary session call. Those, of course, for podcast listeners, are called by the governor and the leaders, respectively, as everybody knows. So that could happen to take up some proposals related to what protesters want. One of the things we haven't heard of that happening, just to be clear. Haven't heard any conversations or really any calls for that as of right now. There is one proposal that the governor said he supports this week, which has to do with police training standards and use of force. But that's something that didn't take off. It was introduced very late in the legislative session. I believe, after the assembly adjourned for the year, but not the Senate quite yet. So, you know, something that comes out that late isn't necessarily expected to make it all the way through the process, but it's not something that we've heard Republican lawmakers say, who of course have the majority, say, this is something we're going to come back and take up as soon as possible. And I'm not hearing, and I, you know, Sean can speak to this too, but I'm not hearing of any other specific, like, legislative things that people are talking about at the Capitol anyway.
No, I mean, like, you're right about this being typically a quiet time of year. And we sort of just have come to accept that in Wisconsin, that that's just the way it goes. It's not the way it goes in every state. You know, they have a more staggered legislative session that would meet at this point in the year. And we've also come to accept that, like, well, Governor Tony Evers and Republican lawmakers are just very far apart on these issues. And I mean, I'm thinking on this particular issue, I remember them being very far apart. I've not heard them debate it since all of this started, but a light could be shined on both of those things, right? If people do want action, there will be a spotlight on the fact that action is not happening. And if there is a debate over the issues raised with police, then you'll see just how far apart they are.
One other thing real quick before we finish up that I think is important to touch on, at least, is that, you know, while all this news of protests is going on, the country is still experiencing the coronavirus pandemic, and these protests are, you know, large public gatherings. What have we seen in terms of, you know, social distancing and mask wearing, and how is the coronavirus sort of factoring into these protests, if at all?
Social distancing, John, is a thing that I do not see happening at these protests. You know, people still may be used to in their lives keeping 6 feet from other people. That's not happening at these protests. People are very close at times. You do see some mask wearing, but it varies. And one thing that I've noticed pretty consistently at these events is that for some speakers, they'll be wearing a mask, but then they get into what they're talking about and they pull the mask off because it's getting in their way and they're feeling it. You know, they want to speak and their mind is elsewhere. They're not thinking about COVID in that moment. So they remove the mask. And so, you know, when you're shouting, that is kind of when COVID can even travel more. So I guess the answer to your question is, like, it's not the ideal place to be as far as COVID goes. All that said, you know, we have reopened Wisconsin to a large degree over the past few weeks, and COVID, the percentage of positive COVID cases in Wisconsin has gone down in recent weeks. So we can't say for sure what all this is going to mean as far as the pandemic goes.
Well, I guess it's just one more thing that we will keep an eye on as all of this news continues. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. And if you have a moment, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. You can also catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.